So what you have on Gemara Makomos page, it's basically the same page that we gave out on Monday, except that we only got up to number Vav, and that's the Binas Adam. What I'd like to do is first and foremost give a little bit of a summary of the Binas Adam, and then see where we could go from there. The Binas Adam, if you recall, wants to explain the juxtaposition, so to speak, between the drush of Rabbi Akiva on Daf Nun Ches and the drush of Shmuel on Daf Nun Zayin. And he says the following, that Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel are addressing two distinct issues. As far as the Torah requirement for Tumah Doraisa in Nida, we need two conditions. Number one, it's got to be Dam Hayotze Mimakora, and it cannot be Dam from a Maka. And number two, it's got to be Dam Baragosha. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is addressing the question of where did this Dam come from, he's not entering into the question of Hargosha. In fact, we saw the Tosus Yontif, which is also on Yomar Makomus, that he says, Dilma Argashov Alavadaite. So Tosus Yontif is willing to enter into this equation of Rabbi Akiva and his Mishnah, that when she says, Ra'isi Kesem, and she asks Rabbi Akiva what to do, it could be possible that she had Argosha. That's the Tosus Yontif. But that's not the issue of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Before we raise the question of did she have Argosha or not, those are already more sophisticated advanced questions, let's ask the most basic question, the most fundamental issue. Did she see Dam Nida, meaning is it Dam Mimakora? And Rabbi Akiva, as we saw in the Mishnah, interrogated her until he finally concluded that it's at least a suffix. Maybe, perhaps, she didn't have Dam Mimakora, but rather Dam Machmas Maka. And therefore he was Matire her. And when the Talmidim were wondering how could he be mitayer her in such a case by investigating, interrogating her until finally she said maybe the dam came from the makah, how is that enough to be matir and isur kares? Rabbi Akiva said because the pasuk says dam and it's got to be dam velo kesem. Why? Because when there's a kesem we might wonder where the dam came from. And we added that it could be possible that according to Rabbi Akiva, even though you might argue that, and this was the Mishnah Achrona's argument against the Tosfos Yontif, at the end of the day you're left with a Sofik Doraisa. So what are you telling me? Maybe it's Dam Machmas Makora, maybe it's Dam Machmas Maka. Okay, but Sofik Doraisa L'chumra. And we suggested that maybe according to the Tosfos Yontif, since she said it was a Kesem, therefore she by strong implication is telling us she didn't have Argosha, she only found a Kesem, and therefore we can attach a double suffix. You have Dilma Argosha Velo Adaite and Afilim Tipsaloma Argosha, but we don't know what the Dam is and where the source of the Dam is. Of course, to formulate that suffix faker accurately, we have to start in the other direction. First, logically, we start with the question of did the Dam come from here or did it come from there? And even if it came from here, did she have Argosha, did she not have Argosha? And that could engender a Sfek Sveiko. But here, the Binas Adam has a different approach. And he says the following, that Rabbi Akiva's point was that nothing begins in Hilchas Nida and in Tumas Nida without a Vadai Dam Nida. And he quotes the drush of the Gemara of Mamzer Vadai Velo Mamzer Sofik, says the Binas Adam. Here also, Rabbi Akiva was dashing Dam Vadai Velo Dam Sofik. And basically, Rabbi Akiva's fundamental premise is that until you convince yourself that she's got dam machmas, or I shouldn't say machmas, but mimakora, dam mimakora, then there's nothing to talk about. And for that matter, even when the Rabbanan Ogin instituted tumah, that might be preconditioned on the fact that we know it's dam mimakora. If you know it's dam mimakora, then you can talk about the tumah the Rabbanan. But once the Torah was matir safek, and the Torah said that the only dam nida is vadai, then it could be the Rabbanan fall suit. You know, they fall in line. They don't undermine the din d'oraisa. If the Torah says like in the case of Mamzer Safek, we don't find that the Rabbanan asked a Mamzer Safek. I don't know of such a thing. Once the Torah was Matir, a Mamzer Safek, which means that only a Mamzer Vada is also, then the Rabbanan are going to leave it left alone. And we could argue, according to the Binas Adam, in the framework of Rabbi Akiva, that if you know it's Dami Makora, then you could talk about the Rabbanans and so on and so on. But if you don't even know it's Dami Makora, that suffix itself takes you out of the parasha of Dam Nida. And the Torah says Dam Vale Velo Dam Suffix. And maybe even the Rabbanan don't touch that. Okay, that's as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned. Now, we rewind, so to speak, back to Daphne and Zion, to the Sug of Shmuel. Shmuel's addressing a whole other question. The Dam is definitely Dam Mimakora. We have no question about that. Oh, so now at least we have some Dam that we can talk about. It's Vadei Dam. And Shmuel accepts the drasha from Yekiva that you need Dam Vadei, you're not Dam Sofik. However, Shmuel says, even though you have Dam Vadei, you're lacking another condition, and that's Hargosha. And in such a case, where she finds a Kesem, even though she knows for sure it's Dam Mi Makora, she made a Bedika and she checked the Karka before she sat on it, so she knows exactly where the Dam came from, and she didn't have Aragosha. And the Torah adds another condition, that Dam is Metame only with Aragosha. Now the Bina Sodom adds another Kiddush, and he says the following. Within the context of Shmuel, the Gemara asks the following question. This is Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti. Does Shmuel deny the existence of Tumah Derabbanan? Meaning, let's say there was no Argosha, but we know the Dam comes Mahmas Gufa. Do we have a Tumah Derabbanan Chach? Or the Rabbanan is saying that since the Torah does not recognize Dam to be Metamio without Argosha, therefore the Rabbanan are going to follow suit and they're going to accept that as them. Here's where the Gemara says no. Shmuel agrees that there is a Tumah Derabbanan called Ksamim. Says the Binas Adam, a Gevaldige Chiddush. We have with regard to Ksamim the following proviso, the following condition. It's got to be a Kigris Vio. There's a shear of Ksamim to be Metame Derabbanan. Says the Binas Adam, that shear to be Metame, that's the Derabbanan only as far as where did the Dam come from. If you want to know where the Dam came from, then if it's a very large Kesem, then we assume it came Migufa. And that was the Rabbanan, that was the Chiddush of the Rabbanan. Meaning, the Torah was Makdir Sofek, as we said before. And that was Rabbi Akiva's Dam Vadei Velo Dam Sofek. The Rabbanan came along and said, there's one Sofek that we want to recognize. And that's Kigris V'od. And the reason for that is that the chances of her having seen that Dam Machmas Makolas, let's say, and she doesn't have a Maka, is minimal. Are minimal, I guess I should say. The chances are very limited. So much so that the Rabbanan are going to say, well, this gigantic Kesem, which is Kigris V'od, when I say gigantic, that's relative, it's quite small, but it's already a lot. That didn't come from Makolas, and therefore, if you've excluded Makolas, we want to assume the Dam came from Gufa. That's where, says the Bina Sodom, we distinguish between what we call a Mashahu and a Kagris, etc. But, he says, if we know that the Dam came Machmas Gufa, in other words, she made a Bedika on the Karka, that was the case of Shmuel, and there was no Dam on the Karka, she sat down, we know exactly where the Dam came from. In such a case, even though she didn't have Hargosha, what the Rabbanu are going to say is that we want to be Metamiha despite the absence of Hargosha, and that's called the Kesem. Here, it doesn't operate, says the Bina Sodom, within the framework of and the definition of Dine Ksamim, where your definition of a Kesem is Kigris V'od, as far as Tumah Derabbanan is concerned. No, drop that whole distinction. That distinction makes sense if you don't know where the Dam came from, but if she made a Bedika, she knows exactly where the Dam came from. And the Rabbanan is saying that Dam below Argosha is Tomei, then Dam below Argosha is Tomei B'mashahu. Yeah. Because of the Tipas Dam Kechardo, when the Torah said that Dam is Metamia, there's no Shir in Dam. And therefore, when the Rabbanan are dropping the proviso of Hargosha, and they're saying even without Hargosha, there's such a thing called down below Hargosha, and it's Metami Durabon, and that's what Yirmiyah Midifti said about Shmuel, that even though she didn't have Hargosha, I'm sorry, when Shmuel said that because she didn't have Hargosha, she's Tahora, says Rav Yirmiyah Midifti, that's only Doraisa, but the Rabbanon dropped the requirement of Hargosha. And again, we're going to have a lot to say about that as we analyze that. Then, says the Bina Sodom, the distinction between Kegris, Fiyot, and Amashu falls apart. Because we know where the Dam came from. Norvas, there was no Hargosha. Well, if the Rabbanon are giving Metamiya without Hargosha, that's not Midinik Samim. That's called Dam below Hargosha. Okay, then? So that's where we're holding as of Yom Sheni. Now, I want to share with you a chiddush of the Torah's Hashlamim. Now, the Torah's Hashlamim wrote many, many sfarim. His name was Rav Yaakov Reicher. If you know anyone with the last name Reicher, there used to be an architect here a few feet away from us on Reish Lakish named Reicher. I think he moved out of the neighborhood. But I'm sure he's a relative of this Rav Yaakov Reicher. He authored the Chok Yaakov, he authored Shvus Yaakov, he authored the Torah Sashlomim. It's the same person. Now, what bothers him and what Chiddush does he come up with? Let's read the language of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, and this is Kuf Tzadi, okay, we're really learning Kuf Pei Gimel, the opening Simon in your Daniel Chesnida. But if you fast forward for a second to Kuf Tzadi, and these two Simonim really belong together, the Machaber writes, based on Shmuel, let me just get the right page here, Dvar Torah Ein Ha'isha Mitama V'lo Asur L'Baila Ad Shetargish Sheyetze Dam Mibsara. Again, we have to have a long discussion that's a little bit futuristic. We'll touch on it today, but we won't get into it heavy. What does Hargosha really mean? There are like three different shittas in what Hargosha is. But in any event, he says, Shetargish Sheyetze Dam Mibsara. V'chachomim Gazru Al Kol Kesem, right? She nimtza begufa o bebesara. She tmeya viasur labayla afilu lo hirgisha. Okay, so far it's really excellent. And then he writes. Second. Okay. So that's all that's relevant to us today. I mean, again, there's a lot more here, but I don't want to confuse myself. So that's what we have here. Beautiful. He paskins like Shmuel. The Torah only asks us in Isha L'Baila, Kishetargish Sheyotza Dam Mibsor. The Chacham say, no, she found Dam Begufa, Bibgada, and Hitmea Vasur L'Baila Fiu Lo Hirgisha. Fine. That, so far, so good, right? Oh. That's in Simon Kuf Tzad. Now, in Simon Kufpei Gimel, what I'm doing is, let me imagine for a moment that Kuf Tzadi would have been the introduction to Hilchas Nida. Okay. And then Kufpei Gimel would come afterwards. Again, I'm not going into the question of the mind of the Machaber, why he organized it in that particular sequence. And Kuf Pei Gimel came first, but in any event, he says the following. Isha sheyotza dam mimakora. Right? He's going to say that she's Tmei Elabayla and Yosheva Saleh Shiva Nikiyim. Fine. So what does he write? He writes, Vehute shetargish biyitziyaso. Oh, wait a second. That's a little bit confusing. Why? Because if Kuf Tzadi is our basis, you follow what I'm saying? If Kuf Tzadi was our introduction to Hilchas Nida, let's just review Kuf Tzadi again. That midoraisa, she's not tmeya until she has Hargosha. But the Rabbanan said that if she finds a kesem al gufa al basara, or al bigda, she's Tmei Midrabanon, even though she didn't have Argosha. In that context, when the Mechaber here at the beginning of Hilchas Nida Kuf Pei Gimel is talking about Asura Labayla, what difference does it make whether she had Argosha or she didn't have Argosha? In any event, she's Asura Labayla. Correct. It called Doraisa, called Rabbanon, but the Mechaber is not making that, you know, he's not coming up with Nafkevinus here, L'chora. I mean, until we see the Torah Sashlamim, right? So again, just to review, the Torah Sashlamim's question is going to be, why did the Mechaber in Kuf Pei Gimel add three words? He added V'husha Targish B'Yitziyasa. If the Mechaber wanted to establish what are the parameters of Nida Doraisa and Nida Drabbanon, he would have said V'hu Shetagish B'Yitziyasa. Avol Chachomim Mitamim Osel Abayla Afilu Im Lo Yigisha Sheyotza B'Yitziyasa Shetagish B'Yitziyasa. But he's not talking about Doraisas and Drabbanons over here. Why does he say V'hu Shetagish B'Yitziyasa? Again, you'll only appreciate the Chiddush in Torah Sashlamim if you appreciate this question. So I'm going to stop here because I don't know if I succeeded in hitting the home run here. You know, did you?
Yeah, but
did you? Say, you know, did it go penetrate?
Yeah, but he doesn't say anything whether they're talking about a
kesem
or not. He just says. That, what does it say exactly?
I'm just saying, he says, Isha Sheyotza Dam Mimakora, and he goes on to say that she, even if she saw Tipas Dam Kechardol, Yosheva Saleh Shiva, Shiva Nikim, and in the middle of this whole presentation, which is his introduction to Chasnida, he adds the stipulation about who should Targish be Yitziyasa. It's very misleading. Because if, let's say, you are a student, you know, learning Hilchas Nida, and you want to know Halacha L'maisa, because that's what Shulchan Aruch is interested, you would get the misimpression when you learn Kuf Pei Gimel that there's nothing to talk about unless you had Argosha. Right. Then I fast forward to Kuf Tzadi, right, that seven simanim later, and all of a sudden, the Mechaber wakes up and tells me, you should know, that even without Argosha, she's Tmei Levayla. Like, it's a little bit odd. He shouldn't have added Vuhusha Tagish B'Yitziyasa. He only confuses us by adding. We don't gain anything, but we have a lot to lose. We get the misimpression that if she wasn't Margeshis Bibsara, then she's not Asura Lepaila. That's not true. Oh. Says the Torah Shlavim, the Afal Gav, the Misbar Lekamon B'Simon Kuf Tzadi, the Afim Loer Gisha, Mikomakom, right, Bekesem Bialmal Gufa Al Chaluka Tmeahi. So why did the Mechaber add this stipulation of Ahu She Targish Bibspiyatsiyaso? Says the Torah Shlomim, a brilliant chap. Because the Mechaber says here, Afilu Lo Rasa Elatipas Dam Kechardo. Says the Torah Sashlomim, Hamachaber ba lomar she tmei afilu b'tipas dam kechardo al kain sasam v'hu she targish b'yitziyaso.
Because if she didn't, then you wouldn't be careful.
There's no riot.
Correct, that meaning comes along the Torah Sashlomim, and he says the following, that if she doesn't have Argosha, then automatically the laws of Ksamim
kick in.
And if the laws of Ksamim kick in, then what's the minimum shear of a Kesem? Kigris. Now I'm about to read to you the crazy place he was going to just completely rip the Torah Sashlam to shreds. But I'll be honest with you, even before we get to the crazy placey, we should guess what he's about to say. We ourselves should be able to rip him to shreds based on the Binas Adam. What did the Binas Adam say? The Binas Adam said that when do you make a distinction between Kigris and Lester Kigris? That's only if you have doubts as to where the Dom came from. Correct? But if you're not in the framework of Rabbi Akiva, that condition that the Torah says has got to be Dom Mimakora, but rather you're in the framework of Shmuel, And Shmuel is saying that midoraisi you need argosha, and the Shulchan Aruch says, but midorabbanan you don't need argosha. Here says the Bina Sodom, there's no difference between, we'll call it a mashu, or in the language of the Shulchan Aruch, tipas nam kechardo, or kigris. Why? Because you know exactly where the dam came from. Ella what the rabbanan are dropping the proviso, the condition of what? Of argosha. It's not memela if the rabbanan are saying that below argosha is kargosha dami, and that's the tumah rabbanan. This has nothing to do with ksamim. This has to do with dam sheyotzamim kora. Ksamim is something that is reserved for dam, the origin of which is clouded in mystery. But if the origin is crystal clear, and the only issue is hargosha, not hargosha, then the Rabbanon, insofar as they lifted the requirement of hargosha, are going to be metami, as if she had dam bargosha. If she had dam bargosha, there's no difference between kigris and not kigris. Why does kigris and not kigris play a role in the takon of ksamim? It's because I don't know where the dam came from. So I think maybe every mita has a kina on it, you know, it has a bug on it back in those days. Hopefully today it's not so, but in any event. So we would be tolling a kina. But kinas are not that big, they're very small. And if it was kigris, then we can't be tolling. So now we can make the precondition on the tumah d'rabbanan of ksamim, it's got to be kigris. Otherwise we're tolling in that stam. Mita has a kino in it. But if you're talking about the issue of hargosha, then that stipulation of, well, it's got to be kishir kigris, that doesn't make any sense. And therefore, even though the Mechaber says here, afilas tipas dam kechardol, it would make sense that applies even without hargosha, because if she knows where the dam came from, then who cares whether there's a kigris or not? And that's what I think is the crazy uplacy. The crazy uplacy is quoted here by the Yad Avram in the Friedman edition of the Shulchan Aruch. You have something called the Otzer HaMafarshim. So unfortunately, I don't have access to the crazy uplacy. Maybe Achil, you could find it on the Hebrew books, you know. And we'll get the whole kit and caboodle. But anyway, he writes the following. Bekresi uplesi kosav kevon shenodola. What does nodola mean? You have to be careful here. Nodola means that we know for sure. It's certain. Sheba migufa. Correct. What's the issue now here in Kuf Pei Gimel? Not where did the dam come from, but did she have what? Argosho, or did she not? But she knows that it came migufa. Ela b'li hargosha, but she didn't have hargosha. Is afilu tipas dam kechardol tmeya mishum kesem. The same logic that we saw in the Venus Adam, we now see in the crazy placey. Udelo kehan minchas Yaakov. Who's the minchas Yaakov? That's the same author of the Torah Sashalom. Remember of Yaakov Reisha, as I told you, wrote many, many books. Period. And that's what he says. So the Yad Avram is basically presenting the Shita of the Kresi Uplesi against the Shita of the Torah Shlomim. And we have a tremendous nafkamina. What's the deal in a case of a woman who knows for sure that the dam came mi gufa, but she had no argosha? Do we require a kigris in order to be metama b'drabbanon? Or do we say that she's tmei b'drabbanon even with a tipas dam kechardol amashu? According to Torah Sashlomim, she's tmeya. Why is she tmeya? No, I'm sorry. Starting in. According to the Binas Adam, she's tmeya. Why is she tmeya? Because what difference does it make whether there's a kigris or not? The question of kigris or not is totally irrelevant if she knows that the dam came in gufa. Kigris v'od is only relevant if you want to be told on a kina. And who agrees with the Bina Sodom? The crazy place. I would add the Yad Avram, because the Yad Avram here is... I don't know if they tell you who he was. I'm just curious. Okay, well, I don't want to waste that time now, because time is precious. But anyway, the Yad Avram... Oh, his name was Rav Avram Maskil Yetan. Interesting. Right. Boy, that's a long last name. Can you imagine spelling it out okay, so we'll call him Eitan. So from Eitan, he's of the opinion, I think, accepting the crazy you place. On the other side of the equation, we have the Torah Shlomim. Now, the Torah Shlomim says that all Tumah Derabanan comes under the laws of Kesem. It's almost like, I don't know, again, please don't quote me on this, like a low plug kind of halacha. Kesem equals kesem equals kesem. There's no such thing as a Tumah Derabanan, says the Torah Shlomim. It doesn't exist. A Tumah Derabanan is a kesem in Hilchos Nida. Means she found dam on wherever she found it, al guf, al besara, or al bigda. In all those cases, the halacha is the Rabbanan acid it and made a tmei lebaila because she found a kagris. That's the shear of a kesem. Less than that, it's not a kesem. And on the other side of the equation, we have this whole slew of poskim, and I want to claim that maybe the Shach also agrees to those poskim, who maintain that there are two dinim. There's like a brisket zvei dinim over here. There's one din called a kesem, and there's another din called a tumah derabanan b'mashu. The din of kesem applies whenever I don't know where the dam came from. When I do know where the dam came from, and therefore we've satisfied Rabbi Akiva's requirement of dam, so I have vada, it's no the shadam mi gufa. Now I have the problem of shvua. So the Rabbanan said, as Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti said, that even though she didn't have argosha, she's tmei labayla. He's mevei lafilu b'mashu. Because what difference does it make in this case of tumah? So we have tumah derabanan in the case of vada mi gufa, and we have kesem in a case where we don't know where the dam came from. And then Achimid is going to be a mashu. If I'm talking about a situation where she finds a kesem, we don't know where the dam came from, it's got to be kigris. But if on the other hand, I know exactly where the dam came from, but the only problem is that we're missing the condition of hargasha, then even a mashu is mitami.
So a bitik ba'id, if a mashu comes on bitik ba'id, it would be also.
Oh, okay, good. Now we have to talk about that. Okay, so wait a minute. I think that's one step ahead of me.
Okay,
and it's just hold on to it for another 5 minutes, because what I wanted to do is the Shach. Because I think perhaps the Shach might support this whole school of thought.
Grace, you bless you, quote some Shach.
Oh, you have the original.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me try to guess what he's going to say, and we'll see if I get it right. Because when I read the Shach, the Rashach, the Shach, you know, is of the... let's see, with the Shach... Where's the Shach now? Now I lost it. No. I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong Shach. Did I mention the Shach? Oh, yes. If cut and bays. Just 1 second. Where is the language that I saw here? The Hachar Gosha Dindo Raisa. Did I not see it in the Shach? See, I usually underline it. Yeah, I'm looking at Zivkot and Beis, but I'm not seeing that key line where he says Doraisa. Just 1 second. Fortunately, it's a very long sima, but I saw that he says Doraisa. Just 1 second. Unless I saw it. Yeah, I know. It's just, I'm, you know, since I didn't underline it, so I may have copied the wrong. Can't figure out. I know I saw this, and now. Oh! I'm so sorry. Reading the Taz. I read this Taz 5 times. I said, where is it? Okay, sorry, I'm quite embarrassed. Anyway, here it says the following in the Shach. The Shach says on what the Mechaber writes, Vehu Shetagish Biyitziyoso Hainu Midoraisa Abel Midorabonon Tmea Afagav Shalor Gisha. Now, watch what's going on over here. The Shach is interpreting these three words of the Mechaber. Vahu shetargish biyitziyaso. And he adds the following qualification. That's only as far as Tumah Daoraisa is concerned, but as Tumah Darabban is concerned, she doesn't need Yitzhiyasa. And he's fitting this into the Mechaber. And in the next line, the Mechaber says, Vafilo Ras Elatipas Dam. So in other words, according to the Shach, basically when you read the Vahu Shetagish Biyitzhiyasa, he's willing, again, the Torah Sashlamim is so much simpler, so much smoother in the Mechaber. But he's willing to say Vahusha Tagish be Yitzhiyah. So it's just a theoretical point that on a Doraisa level we need our Gosha. But add the following footnote and stoop it into the Mechaber. You should know, based on what he says later on Kuftzadi, that as far as the Rabbanan is concerned, we don't need our Gosha. And then continue reading the Shulchan Aruch. You know, but you have to put that all in to the language of the Mechaber. And then he says, Afilu Ras, Lo Ras, El Ketipa Asnam Kechardo. Is Memele, as far as Tumah Darabanan is concerned, in the case of Lo Argisha, it doesn't matter how much she sees. Even a Tipa Asnam Kechardo. Why? Because she knows the Dam came Miguf. If and when she knows the Dam came. I think the Gaon also is learning the same shot. If you look in the Gaon, he says the following. He says on the words Vahu Shetagish Biyitziyasa Hainu Midoraisa. Just 1 second. Hainu Midoraisa Vidina Doraisa Nokat Khan. But Enochinami, or everything is equal. Even if there was no Argosh and it's only to Midorabanan, all things are equal. Meaning, even Tipas Dam Kechardel is awesome. Okay. Now I want to get to the rabbi's question. Okay. So before we get to Reb Kivega here, let's see, I just have to keep a marker here because I keep going back and forth from Kuftzadi. Okay. All right. We've said now that if she has a re'iyah vadois from Gufa, then it seems that, this is my formulation, that Ruba de Ruba de Poskim, with the exception of the Torah Sashlovim, assume that she's Asura Labaila even b'mash midrabban, and there's no argosh, correct? Okay. What exactly do we mean when we say that she had a re'iyah vadois migufa? So the most extreme way of saying this, and the more extreme you get, the more makel you are, because again, we're coming up with the chumra of mashu here, is that she saw dam coming out of her body, but she didn't have her gush. Now, as I said to you before, there are many different shitas as to what our gush is. The Pesachei Tshuva here at the beginning of Hilchas Nida of Kuf Pei Gimel quotes one opinion. In the name of the Achronim, he says, "Kishemar geshes dovar lach zav mimena mibifnim." It's coming out of the inside of her body, outside. So let's say that she sees the dam coming out of her body, but she doesn't feel it coming out. That's the case of Yediyah Vadois Shadam Migufa below Argosha. Why? Because Argosha means she margeshes lach yotze mibifnim mibachutz lebachutz. That's going to be one possibility. But let's ask about another question. Now the rabbi mentioned bedika, so I want to differentiate between two categories of bedika, and we've spoken about this in the past. There's an internal inspection that's called Bedikas Eid. And then there's Kinuach Mibachutz. In the case of Bedikas Eid, we're going to have a whole sugya in Masech Tanita Daf Yudalit. And the sugya says that she's Tmeh. And that's clear that she's Tmeh even B'mashahu. That's not a Kesem at all. And we're going to see exactly why it's not a Kesem. The Gemara assumes that she had Argosha, but she confused it with the aid and the gansa business. That, hopefully we'll get to that in about 10 minutes from now. Okay? That's Sugyan Daf Yudal. But what I want to know is, what happens if she does a kinuach mibachutz? Now, I have to add one condition. She checked the cloth first. Okay, so she checked the cloth first. That parallels Shmuel's case where she checked the karka. She knows the cloth is crystal clean. Right? And now, after kinuach mibachutz, she finds dam on this kinuach, this bad. Certainly she had no argosha. In such a case, would we say that she's tmeya, even b'masha? I mean, this is a Rabosai, this is a major issue in Hilchus Nida, practically.
Well, you have no rights.
Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me just, I'm sorry, I have an emotional agenda here, that this is a very relevant question. Why? A woman comes to a Rav with a cloth that has dam on it. So what does the Rav do? The first thing he does is, again, I'm being facetious here, but the first thing he does is he takes out his magnifying glass and he wants to find out if it's kigris or not. And then Berzon knocks on the door and he says, wait a minute, Remy. Hold on a second. I don't even know if we need a kigris. Why don't you ask her another question first? Where did it come from? And she says to you, you know what? I made an inspection. Well, what kind of an inspection did you make? If you made an internal inspection, sorry, buddy, you're a tmei lebaila. Does she know? I didn't, Rabbi, make an internal inspection. I did a kinuach mibachutz. Ah, kinuach mibachutz. That's dam shevada higia mi gufa. Again, I have to interrogate her that the bdika was on a clean aid. She did a kinuach mibachutz, and then I say it's dam below argosha. If it's dam below argosha, I have this entire bulk of Achronim and Poskim, dating all the way back to the Shach, if we understood the Shach correctly, based on the Machabre, that Afilu Tipas Dam Kechadol in Dan Blar Goshev Itzvare Migufa. You hear?
No, I was saying that, you may have just said that, but I was looking it up, but you said that if it's coming from a B'dik Mibachutz, then we don't have any way that's Mokar. Everything we said about Kuf Pe Gimel and Kuf Tzadik all had to do with it. Now we knew for sure it came from the Mokar.
So she did a Kinuach Mibachutz. Where's the dam coming from?
It could be anywhere.
What do you mean? She didn't lie in a bed and go to sleep. You know, she didn't squash a bed bug. She did a Kinuach. Again, I'm not going to demonstrate it for you, but, you know
what I'm saying? I'm not from a Meisah.
One second, Rabbi. You're going too fast. I just want to make sure that before you get to Halach LaMaisa, we're on the same page logically. Just right now, pure logic.
How do you know it was from a Maka?
So she doesn't have a Maka. Ain't no Kinami. I'm going to have to investigate and see if she has a Maka. She has no Maka. Okay, Rabbi Kiva asked if she had a Maka. Yes, I had a Maka. Is it alive and active? No, it's not alive. Maybe it became active. Maybe it became active. She says she has no maka. There's a perfectly healthy woman. She has no maka. And she does a bedika chitzonit, right? We call it a kinuach. She checked the thing. Again, human logic. Before we get to poskim, where does this dam come from? Ribbono Shel Olam, that's Shmuel's case. Except the difference is that in Shmuel's case, she checked the karka and then she sat on the karka. My case is even more extreme, in a sense. She did a bdika, wiping herself, and we know where the dam came from. I mean, logically, does that make sense? No, if we know the dam came from, let's apply what I call the logic of the Binas Adam, which we now find in the Adavram, in the name of the Crazy Uplacy, and we want to be Medayik in the Shach, in the Vilna Gaon, all together. They all say, Afilu Tipas Dam Kachadol. And this rabbi is looking with his magnifying glass. He takes out a dime from his pocket, right? And he sees whether the kesem is larger than a dime or not. That's what they used to do in America. I don't know what they do here in Israel. What's the size of a gris? I don't know. There must be a coin or something. Yeah, Rabbi. Now you are. I just want to know if you're with me on the logic of it. Again, I'm not trying to be a super machmir. This is not the Chum of the Week Club. But I'm just trying to analyze the situation logically according to everything we've seen. Yeah.
If I remember correctly, if that kinuach was done with the Dover Shein and Makabel Tuma, It's not a problem.
Oh, okay. Why so now you're adding another element, which again is coming down the line, but I just have to move slowly. Okay,
but why would it be?
Let me move slowly, okay? We're going to get to your question. Rabbi, every question you're asking is tzumzak. It's just that you have to deal with a human being here, you know, that's slow. You know, I wish I was as fast as you are, but I'm slow. Okay. So here I found something fascinating on this question. Okay? There are two types of bedikas kinuah. Now I'm going to need your help on this because I don't, frankly, exactly understand the mitzvahs here. Okay? Let me read to you the poskim. You'll find this in many of the later poskim. They want to say the following. That there's something called a kinuach, just 1 second, a kinuach bi oso makom, and then there's something called a kinuach the beis haturfa. So again, Rabosai, I can't, you know, I need a chart here, you know, and you know, if you went online, they would accuse you of who knows what if you look for, you know, charts for this. But let's just say it like this, that there's a certain specific part of her body where the dam comes out of, and then there's the general area called the beis haturfa, you know, the whole area. So the poskim want to say that this chumrah to be metamior on pachos mikigris, because she did a kinuach, only applies if it was a bedika bi oso makom. Again, it's an external bedika; it's not an internal inspection, but it was bi oso makom. But if it was a more general kind of kinuach that she did, the beis haturfa, then that's called a safek, and we could be mekil and require a kegris. Now again, I don't know in practical terms how you're going to find this out, you know.
How do you define the terms? Oso makom.
I don't know. That's what I was hoping you would help me with, you know what I'm saying? But again, this all I could tell you is that there's a more specific, you know, a more specific kinuach, and there's a more general kinuach. Again, I'll read to you the language of the poskim. Maybe you'll figure this out. He says the following. He says, "Mikomakom nechsha vada migufa imbodka baoso makom utmea bekolshehu." Kolshehu means a mashehu. Aval ein lahachbir bazeh. Velola hatzrich shir kigris, ela im kain bodka bikinuach dafka bi oso makom. Masha enken bikinuach ha matzui means much more commonplace, shahu bechol beis haturfa, the entire area in a general sense, nidon kisafek, and then I can add the proviso of kigris. So, Rabbi, you know, you were asking me about the practical issue. Again, we're going to talk about Dov Sheinim and Kabbal Tuma, but before we get to that, what we have here, the poskim, just for your greater knowledge, I don't understand it yet. Maybe I'll understand it when I get to the, you know, the kol is already off because they took their exam in Hilchos Nida. So I would love to ask the members of the kol, but I can't even find them right now. If they know the difference between a kinuach oso makom and a kinuach beis haturfa.
Where does it say it's external? It doesn't say it's external there.
Yeah, I mean, I skip part of it. You know, it has to be external. If it's internal, that we'll see is a sugya lehejah in the Gemara that she's tmeya, and there's no, there's not, that's even a doraisa halacha. That's not even a derabbanan halacha, because the Torah assumes that at least as a safek, she probably had argush and she confused it because of the aid. But now we're talking about a kinuach. There's no argusha. But it's vaday dam machmas gufa. When does it become vaday dam machmas gufa? Only in a kinuach. Again, first of all, she had to have checked it before she did the kinuach. And secondly, it's got to be bioso mokum, whatever that means. Okay, we'll try to figure out what that means as we go.
Yeah, but you add the point that she's 100% healthy and has no other maka. So what would be your havamina that the dam from the bigger area is not going to be from...
No, it might come from here and there. You know, the Gemara has all sorts of possibilities where the dam came from. Maka is only one possibility. you know, after seeing, did she go through a shuk shel tabachim? Was it a tzipah? Did she sleep? And with the kina, you know, there are many, many possibilities as to where the dam came from. And if we're going to be machmir to say that she's tmeya bimashahu, because it's vadei migufa, we have to be vadei migufa, which means that the kinuach has to be exactly on that spot. And only on that spot. You know, she really zoomed in on that spot where the dam would come from. If she did a more general kind of kinuach, then you never know. Maybe the dam came from someplace else. Okay, now we have the rabbi's next question. Okay, so here, I want to tell you something else. And then maybe we'll have time for Rabbi Kiveg. I don't know. I'm not sure if the trouble with this Rabbi Kivega is that I'm always afraid that if I do this Rabbi Kivega, then there goes the whole shiur, because we won't have enough time to get to the main issues for today. That's what I'm worried about. But in any event, when the Chachamim instituted the Gzeira of Ksamim as a Tumah Derabanan, they made the following stipulation. It's got to be a Kesem on a Dover HaMakabel Tumah. And number two, it's got to be on Begadim Levonim and not on Begadim Tzivonim. All this has to do with the laws of Tumah V'Taref, Kabbalah's Tumah. For example, Mechubel Karka is not Mekabel Tumah, they're different dinim. Oh. Now, according to this school of thought that we've been presenting, we'll call it the Crazy Placey for lack of another name, okay? I would say it's the Shah. We're not dealing with ksamim in a case of vadei migufa. Whatever vadei migufa is, you know, you'll have to decide for yourself what vadei migufa is. Whether it means she saw the dam coming out, whether it means she did a kinuach, boso mokom, whatever it might be. But you have a vadei migufa. At that point, you're not dealing with ksamim. We're dealing with a whole new category of tumah derabanan. And the proof of it is that it's asur b'mashu. Tumas ksamim is never asur b'mashu. It's always kigris. Is memela when the Rabbanon made these limitations of begadim tzivonim and davar makabel tumah, etc., that condition or those preconditions apply to hilchas ksamim. But if now you have hilchas dam machmas gufa, that's not ksamim, because it's vadei migufa, nor vas, it's missing argasha. And the Rabbanan lifted that requirement of Argasha, then it makes no difference where she found the dam, even on the Dover HaMakabel Tumah, Dover Sheinu HaMakabel Tumah, and even on Begadim Tzivonim. So Rabosai, I'm just pointing out to you that when we talk about the Morei Hora who sit Yom Halayla and they paskin on all these shilas, they should be aware. Again, chas shalom, it sounds like I'm being critical. I hope I'm not misunderstood here. This is not, I'm not making some sort of a judgment comment about poskim or something. That's not my point. My only point is that based on what we've seen in the poskim, the first issue that the Rav should be aware of before he gets into the, you know, plunges into the issue of, is it Begadim Tzivonim and we can be Mekil? Is it Pachos Mikagris and we can be Mekil? And all the rest, and that's 99% of what the poskim do in the case of Ksamim. I'm not talking about an Eid Bedika. Most of the work that the poskim do is with an Eid Bedika. But I'm not talking about an Eid Bedika, I'm talking about Ksamim. I mean, I remember the Dibbetziner in Borough Park. I came by. I had my own shaila to ask him, you know, my own family issue, so to speak, if you know what I mean. And he was looking at an undergarment, right? And she found a kesem on the undergarment, you know. So that's not the bedika. That's not your classical shaila. And sometimes the posek has to realize that before he jumps the gun and talks about ksamim, he should first clarify, is there a vadai migufa? And if she tells him it was vadai migufi, because I saw it coming out, according to that school of thought, or I made a kinuach, according to that school of thought, then he has to drop the ball on hilchas ksamim, according to all these poskim. And he has to assume that any kulis that he comes up with, namely begadim tzivonim or pachos mikagris, are totally irrelevant. I'm just saying that that seems to me that the Rav is going to have to first clarify that. Okay.
We never learned that. When we
meaning
at yeshiva, back in yeshiva, Hilchos Nida, that in between the Rabbanim was never taught. It was Vadai, D'oraisa, or it was Ksamim.
Right. And that's
without Hagosha.
So that's what I'm telling you, that again, I don't know, you know, I can't, you know, I got away with murder because the Rav said, go learn Hilchos Nida on your own and come back for an exam, and he asked a couple of Lamdisha questions, and that's how we got Smicha. Okay. That's all because of my friend Alan Dubin. You know Alan. So he came in and he bounced on the table because they wanted to sell us to send us to Rabbi So-and-so for a year. And we didn't want to go to Rabbi So-and-so. We wanted to stay in the Rav. So the Rav said, I'll take care of it. You know. So, but, in, you know, so I can't tell you what, you know, what the thing. But I'm just saying what I see here, and this is the Mamish introduction to Hilchos Nida, is that there's this in-between state where there's a Tumah Derabanan, but it's not some. And why is it a Tumah Derabanan? Because she didn't have Argosha. Why is it not Ksamim? Because Ksamim means we don't know what the source of the Dam is. Here we know where the source of the Dam is, it's Dam Machmas Gufa. And on this issue of Dam Machmas Gufa, this gigantic machlokas, the only problem is that Berzhan HaKotan could only find one posek who's willing to take Ksamim and spread it out all over and say that any Tumah Derabanan by definition comes under the laws of Ksamim. And that's Rav Yaakov Reisha. He's no slouch, but you can't compare Rav Yaakov Reisha against the Shach if we're relearning the Shach. So again, Rabbi, I don't know, you know, 50 years ago when you, how many years ago did you learn Hilchos Nida? It's probably close to 50 years ago, no? So I don't know if they did learn this Shach. Oh, they didn't learn. Again, this is all based on very meticulous reading in the Mefarshim. Some of these Mefarshim were probably inaccessible 50 years ago. Who read the Otzer Mefarshim in the name of the Yad Avram? I never heard of the Yad Avram. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I did, because in Aruch Chaim we use the Yad Avram occasionally. Okay, anyway, Rabosa, I want to move on. So what I'm going to try to do now, if I can do this feat, is give 5 minutes to Rav Kiveg, because otherwise Rav Kiveg could take us the rest of the shiur. This is the first Rav Kiveg in Hilchos Nida. And Rav Kiveg wants to know the following. What's the status of Dam below Hargosha when we know it's coming Migufa as far as Zayin Nikiyim is concerned? Do we say that according to Shmuel, Bibsara Achetargish Bibsara, and therefore if there was no Hargosha, that's not Dam Nida, period. And therefore she continued counting her Zayin Nikiyim. So again, she's in the middle of Zayin Nikiyim, and she sees Dam Machmas, excuse me, she sees Dam Migufa, Vadai Migufa, but without Argosha. Says Rabbi Kiveger, it's the first Rabbi Kiveger here in Hilchos Nida, he says, Mashma de Gam Ze Eino Soser. You know, the words of Rabbi Kiveger are a little bit ambiguous. What does it mean, Eino Soser? Like, started thinking, what is there a stira to some other Shulchan Aruch? No, he doesn't mean a stira in the classical sense. What he means is a stira of Zayin Nikiyim. Right. And what he's saying is a gevaldig chiddush. And l'fi ani is daiti, this is going to be a machlokas rabbim and raivin. But Rabbi Kiveger doesn't see it that way, and I have to rack my brains to figure out why. But he says that once the mechaber establishes that the precondition, like Shmuel, for Adam to be Matami and Nida is Hargosha, therefore Adam below Hargosha is not Soser in Zayin Nikiyim. And I'm not sure that that's so, meaning Yesh La'ayim B'divrei Rabbi Kiveger. Now, it could be that Rabbi Kiveger is aware of the fact that he's not necessarily on solid ground here, because he writes the Ayin Sidrei Tara. Now, this is fascinating. The Sidrei Tara refers to machlokas between the Rambam and the Raifit. What's the machlokas Rambam and the Raifit? We discussed it in the past. The case is Dam Machmas Koshi. In other words, during the Leda process, she sees Dam. Okay? Later on, after the Leda, that Dam is Metameo with the different dinim of Azokh and the cave and so on. But now, she still hasn't given birth yet, but she saw Dam Machmas Koshi. So the law is that she's still Tahora Labailah. The machlokas between the Rambam and the Raivid is whether or not it's soser in Zayin Nikiyim. In other words, here's the possibility, and again, I want you to use your logic. We're not talking about halacha l'maisa right now. But in pure logical terms, there's something called nikiyim. Nikiyim means that she didn't see dam mi makora. This dam machmas koshi is dam mi makora. But there's a gzeres hakosiv that since the dam came through a makor as a result of the later process, that's called dam machmas koshi, she's muteris labayla. You know, this is very relevant to what do they call it? False alarms? What do they call it when a woman goes to Tel Aviv and then they send her home for another week?
Braxton Hicks.
What's it called?
Braxton Hicks.
What language is that in?
Those are names.
Oh, okay. In my family, we call it a false alarm, you know? And then she comes back from the hospital and she's not even in 1 centimeter open and they say, come back in a week, you know? And then, and every day in the week, she thinks she's going into labor. It's such a nevuch. You know, when we say Shalom Asani Isha, that's what we should have in mind. I think it's more tense than the labor itself. You know what I mean? Now they have epidural, so, you know, I don't know. But just this false business where she's back and forth and she doesn't know if she's in labor or not. Anyway, so that's called Dam Machmas Koshi. Is Mimela, this is called a Davar She'eno Goreim Tuma. In other words, the Torah was Metayer. And the Machlokas Rishonim here between the Ram and the Rav revolves around the following question. If it's not Goreim Tuma, does therefore ipso facto means it's not Dam? Or it still maintains its status of Dam? But it's just not metame, and it's not going tumah. The nafkamina is going to be whether it breaks up zayin nikiyim. In other words, there's a new halacha here. Again, this is like a brisket tzvei dinim of zayin nikiyim. Zayin nikiyim may or may not be dependent upon or equal to dam hametame. The nikiyus means that there's no dam coming from this. What she needs for 7 days, after she's a zovek dola, is zayin nikiyim, where no dam comes mimakora. Whether that dam is mitami or not is irrelevant, according to one shita. Is memela, when I come back to this Rabbi Kivegan, maybe that's what he means when he says ayin sidrei tara. Perhaps, even though there was no hargasha, and dam below hargasha is not mitame, so it's not a dam hagoreim tuma, but nevertheless we know it came mi gufa. If we know it came mi gufa, it's enough to be mafkia zayniki. And the truth of the matter is, you may remember, I once photocopied for you a chavas das of the Nesivus. And the chavas das in the Nesivus is absolutely convinced that dam below hargasha, so seres zayniki. So that which is simple to Rabbi Kivega on one extreme is simple to the Chavos Das on the other extreme. Whereas Rabbi Kivega understood that down below Argosh is not mitami, and therefore ipso facto it's not soser zayin nikiyim. The Chavos Das understood it was tzvei dinim. The fact that she's muteris labayla has nothing to do with zayin nikiyim. If it's dam machmas, you know, mimakora, then that's enough, even though it's not goreim tuma, to generate a stira of zayin nikiyim. Okay. Now, as far as a kesem is concerned, in a classical sense, so a kesem is not so ser zayin nikiyim, meaning if the kesem was pachas mikigris, then we're going to assume that it's dam mimakoles, and therefore it's not so ser zayin nikiyim. Okay, let me just make sure that I said that right. Ein chavas das kuf tzadi vav sifkat and gimel desvile de dam below argosha so seres midoraisa bezayin nikiyim mikomakom. Zeu dafka b'ri'iyah v'adoes miguf aval b'kesem sheyeh sofik im bami mimakora olov ha'mikora v'adai eno soser. Okay? So again, Rabbi Ose, this all fits into our framework of today, that there may be two different structures here. There's one structure of tumah d'rabbanan, i.e. dam v'adoes mach mimakora, but without agosha. And then there's ksavim, where we don't know where the dam came from. And that's a whole different story. Okay, Rabosai. Now, if not for the fact that the clock says a quarter to one, I would have started the shiur right here. But I can't turn back the clock. That's my problem. So I always have like big eyes, you know, about what we're going to accomplish in this shiur. So first of all, I found a beautiful kesef mishnah. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Isurei Bia, I think I have it for you on the Mar Makoma sheet. Did I have it here? The Rambam. Okay. I guess I left it. What do you say?
Yud Gimel.
Yud Gimel. Oh. The Rambam Yud Gimel. Perek Tes Halacha Beis with the Kesef Mishnah. It's unbelievable how you could read the Rambam and miss the punchline. The Rambam says the following. After establishing at the beginning of Perek Tes that Eino Isha Mistamis Minator Benida etc. etc. Chetargish Vitiradam V'yotza B'Vesara, then the Rambam says in Halacha Beis Umidivri Sofrim Kol Haroa Dam Kesem Dam Al Besar Al Bigda Afal Pisha Lo Ergisha V'Afal Pisha Bodka Atzma V'Lo Motza Dam Harei Zut Meya V'Tuma Zu B'Sofik. Okay, so far we're doing well, right? We're talking about a Kesem and now we don't know where the Dam came from. Says the Rambam, Shema Kesem Zeh, listen carefully, Midam HaCheder Bo. There are two parts to the woman's physiology. There's something called the Aliyah, and there's something called the Cheder. Dam in Aliyah is not Mitame. Dam Me'acheder is Mitame. Now, there's an entire sugya, Masechta Bava Basra, about Rov and Karov. You know, because the Dam from the Aliyah has to go this way in order to go out of the Galop, so it's a little bit far further away. But Rov Dam is coming Menacheder and with Rov and Karov and then the whole sugya there. So I don't remember all the details of that sugya. Frek de Kesef Mishneh Koshali Ha'avi Svek Sveka. According to the Rambam, we have a Svek Sveka. V'havi Leila Mishrei. Why? Sofek Echon Migufa Sofek Shalom Migufa V'afilim tim salam migufa sofik min acheder v'tame sofik min aliyah v'tar. What a gorgeous kasha. The Rambam adds and kol amosif goreah. The Rambam introduces a whole new element into ksamim. We understood that ksamim is that she lie on the bed and therefore there was she squashed the dust, that she come from the tzipor this and she walked through a tabak. Forget about all that. The dam came migufa. But I don't know if it came in a cheder or in aliyah. And that's what the Rambam recognizes as the primary suffix in ksamim. Frek the kesef mishnah. If that be the case, then the Rambam should be matir every kesem he didn't svek svek. And he gives two answers. The Yesh Lomar, the afal pichen, hichmiru bo chachamim mishum iser chamor. Which basically means that since neither is an iser kares, forget about svek svek. The Rabbanan are going to completely ignore Svek Svek. I'm not a happy camper. Where do we see that the Rabbanan ignore Svek Svek? By the way, the Rambam says that Sofek Chadosh in Chutz Laretz is Mutter Midin Svek Svek. The Rav said it's not a Svek Svek. He disagrees with the Rambam. But let's assume the Rambam is right. That somehow we don't know if it came where the Hashrasha took place last year or this year, and even if the Hashrasha took place this year, maybe it was after this, and he's got this Svek Svek. No, based on that, Ramah, for the last 5 centuries, Ashkenazic Jews have been eating Chadosh and Chutz Laretz. But why didn't the Rabbanan say, okay, so there's no Issacharis, maybe that's the Pshat. Okay. Fine. The Odye Shlomar. Maybe I'll have more happiness from the second answer. The me'acher she'ein lo dover litlos bo hichmiru chachomim lomar dahavi ki'ilu hu migufa vadai. I've written a little different. I say vadai migufa, or migufa vadai. V'lachein ein kan el sofek echot v'efshar shalazeh niskaven rabbein. He says the following. If a woman goes through a shukshal tabachim, okay, she lays on a bed, okay, I have something, a double litlos bo, there's some evidence to lead me to possibly raise this possibility that the dam came from somewhere else. But this woman did not lay on any bed, she hasn't slept for a month, right? And this woman did not walk through a shukshal tabachim. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam considers that as if the suffix mi'alma is completely null and void, reducing us to one suffix, did it come mi'chadera or did it come mi'aliyah, mi'aliyasa? Meaning, it definitely came mi'gufa. I like this a lot better. Because what he's saying is that, but again, this is going to have tremendous repercussions, Ladina. Because then it's going to mean that if we really have a Dabra Litlos bow, then we can be Matir Midin Sveksvek. Because the Rambam has the suffix that even if it came in Guf, I don't know if it came from here or from there. Okay, that's as far as the Kesef Mishnah is concerned. I have a lot to talk to you about this Kesef Mishnah. There's a tremendous amount of literature on the Kesef Mishnah. But I'd like to leave that for next week. Because I have something very fascinating here. And that is the Kresi Uplesi. And that's what I'd like to study with you now. And it'll take me 15 minutes. Those who have to leave, you know where the door is. Okay? And I have no times because, you know, you gotta go, you gotta go. This is all L'shem Shamayim. This is all voluntary. You know, you're not my 18-year-old students where I can tell you where to go and where not to go. Alright. Good. Now, if I could just get myself organized, I want to read to you the Kresi Uplesi. Okay. Here's what I have. The Gemara on Daf. Oh, I thought I had a Gemara Nida here. Is the Gemara Nida here? What do you have? You have a Steinsaltz? I don't know how to operate with that. Yeah. Okay. Does it have Nun Zayin on the base?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So give me a Steinsaltz. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to find the
page.
You know? Confusing. He left it out.
We're
the first part, the second part. Nun Zayin.
All right, this is all Nun Zayin on the base. Okay, let's see if I can do this. I have to make a Shekhiyonu here. Okay, it's a new experience. Omar Shmuel. Bodka karka olam, v'yashva aleha, u'motza dam aleha, tahora, shenemar, bibsora ad shetargish bibsora. Fine. Then there's a long shtickle Torah here, not for us, about do we need this pasuk bibsora for other yalfusas, and finally tarte, you can learn two things from the same pasuk. Okay. Toshma. The Gemara has a series of two attacks against Shmuel. Okay. So now, let me just 1 second. I'm sorry. I just want to get myself organized here. Oh, okay. Okay. So first, the Gemara asks Akasha from the Mishnah on Daf Yudalid Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says that Nimtza Dam Liachar Tashmish, that's what we call Dam Machmas Tashmish, is Safek. What does that mean, Safek? He doesn't bring a Karban Chatos, because a Karban Chatos is only a Karban that he brings for a Shigagas Vadai. And the Gemara asks the following question, Mimanafshach, what happened over here? Did she have Argosha? Did she not have Argosha? If she had Argosha, then he should bring a Korban Chatos. He was Bol and Nida. And she should bring a Korban Chatos as well. If on the other hand, she didn't have Argosha, so what are you telling me? It's a Suffolk. It's not a Suffolk at all. Without Argosha, it's not Mitam. Okay? Now, the Gemara is going to give the same answer to this question, so I'm going to hold it off, as the Gemara is going to give to the next question. And the next question, the Gemara asks from a Brisa that says that from a Mishnah, excuse me, on Daf Nun Chesam in Beis, he nichaso tachas sakar v'nimtza olav dam. She did a bedikas aid, and then she, without looking at the aid bedika, she put it under her pillow, and then she looks in the next morning. And the Mishnah says, im ogol, if she finds a round stain, tar. V'im mashuch, if she finds that it is elongated, then she's tame. Again, the Gemara asks the same question. Heichi dami, idi argisha, if she felt the dam, is ogol amai tar. El alav, the lo argisha. If lo argisha, is katani mashuch tame. So the Gemara says the same answer to both questions. Li olam di argisha, she had argosha, but Amor, maybe we could say hargoshas ha'ed havi, Maybe she was mistaken. And therefore, if it's Agul, we can assume that she mistakenly concluded that she had Argosha, but in truth she didn't have Argosha. What did she feel? She felt the eight. Or in the case of Machmas Tashmish, she thinks that she had Argosha, but since she had Tashmish, maybe she confused herself and mistakenly thought it was Argosha, but in truth it wasn't Argosha. Now I want to read to you the crazy uplasi. Hine yeshkan sofek otsu. Very dramatic introduction. The efshal lilmod es ha-gemara b'shnei ofanim. There are two ways of understanding this gemara. Ha-echad. The first one, he gives a little bit of a grade here for the first one. He calls it echad kipshuta. I guess he has a certain inclination to the first pshat. The hirgisha re'iyas dam. She felt that dam was coming out of her body. Vafilu hachi came on the achra tashmish nidona kisafik. We're going to consider it as a safik. Shema ta'asa behargoshas tashmish. Now she really thought it was argoshas dam, but in truth it was argoshas tashmish. Vechen bibdikas eid im motza dam ogul. She found it round. And therefore, it might be logically that it came from a makolas, right? Is amrinon shetasa b'argosha, even though she claims that she had argosha, and therefore she's a sofek. Says the crazy uplasi, ulefi zeh im omeres shelo hirgisha hargoshas dam tahora. If she says, no, I didn't feel any argosha, then on a doraisa level, for sure she's tahora. Because again, the Torah says Ad Shetargish. And then we have the case of the Rabbanon, that the Rabbanon were Metamia even without Hargosha. Sheni, Ofen Sheni. Another way of interpreting the Gemara. Be'emes hito enes, shelo hirgisha. What the Gemara means is that she claims that she didn't have Hargosha. Va'afilu hachi, Mitamin osa achar tashmish v'chein achar bedikas ha'ed di anu omrim shehergisha. We're going to convince her that she had argosha, so to speak, or she may have had argosha. Rak shechoshva v'tosa shemargisha argoshas shamosh o argoshas ha'ed. She mistakenly attributed that argosha to what? To the tashmish or to the ed. Ulefi zeh, afilu imi omeres shelo ergisha, kevan sherasa tmeya midoraisa b'torah sofek. Okay, so again, here's where the crazy place he wants to know. Let me start backwards. Meaning backwards, mean let me give you the case and two possible rulings on the case, and then we'll attribute these two rulings to two ways of interpreting this gemara on daf. Nun, what is it? Nun Ches, correct? Okay. Nun Zayin Amid Beis. I thought it was Nun Ches, but this is also part of Nun Zayin Amid Beis, right? Okay. Okay, sorry. So it's Nun Zayin Amid Beis. Oh. In case you want to look it up in a more classical Gemara. Okay. I didn't want to say a real Gemara because I don't insult a couple of people who use Steinzel, so fine. Here's the question. A woman says, lo hirgashti, I didn't have argosha. It was after tashmish, she finds dam. It was after bedikas ha'ed, and she finds dam. What's her status? Is her status tmeya da'oraisa? Because we're going to assume that she made a mistake, and what really was a argosha, she thought was tashmish, or was ed. And that becomes a sofik doraisa because she really might have had argosha. We don't know. Oh, Dilma, no. When does the Gemara say that she's tmeya and that's the Rabbana? That's because she said what? She said, I had argosha. Okay, 1 second. Sorry. Let me start again. She says she didn't have argosha, correct? So there's going to be a suffek here, atzum, a suffek atzum in the crazy placey, whether or not it's a suffek tuma, or it's only, and that makes it a doraisa, or it's only a tuma derabbanan. Says the crazy placey, it depends how you learn the Gemara. If the Gemara was saying that she came forward and said she had hargasha, and we're going to convince her that maybe she made a mistake, correct? That means what the Gemara is saying, what was the first shot? That he to'enes sheher gisha, correct? And yet we're going to say that it's a suffix. So why does this generate a suffix to'oraisa? Again, in both cases, the Gemara quotes Mishnayis that achar tashmish or achar b'dikas ha'ed, it's a suffix to'oraisa. It's not enough to be mechayev a karbon, because for that you need a vade, but it's a suffix to'oraisa. If it's the case where she said hirgashti, that was reduced to a level of a suffix by virtue of the tashmish or the aid. But if she says lo hirgashti, that would only be derabbanan. If on the other hand the Gemara is addressing a case where she said lo hirgashti, and yet we're going to create a suffix, that means that suffix is a doraisa even though she says lo hirgashti. The first pshat in the crazy place says that she said hirgashti, and that's why it creates a suffix, because we're not sure, was it really hargasha, wasn't a genuine hargasha. However, if she said lo hirgashti, that would be the classical case of derabbanan. It means that the tuma derabbanan of heder hargasha, of the absence of hargasha, applies even when she finds dam on an aid, even when she finds dam machmas tashmish. Nevertheless, it's derabbanan because she said lo hirgashti. And if she, of course, when does the Gemara upgrade it, according to the first chat in the crazy place, when does Gemara upgrade it to a suffix d'oraisa? That's only because she said hergashti. But if she had said lo hergashti, then it would be reduced down to a derabbanan. In the second chat, on the other hand, the case was where she said lo hergashti, and the Gemara is upgrading it to the level of a suffix d'oraisa. That's the suffix atzum of the crazy place. And then he goes on, and he says that the Shev Yaakov, that's the same author of the Torah HaShlamim that we started with today, Rav Yaakov Reischer, he holds like the first pshat, which is Kipshuta. That when you read the Gemara, you get the impression that she said Hergashti. We're going to convince her that it's not so clear, and therefore there's no karbon, it's only a suffix d'oraisa. Had she said lo hirgashti, then she would only be tmeya derabbanan. And again, this has tremendous repercussions, because there's a fundamental difference between a tuma d'oraisa and a tuma derabbanan. The crazy placey, after he quotes the Shev Yaakov, says yesh lahachmir bazeh, and he has a whole arichus to show you how to interpret the Gemara according to the various Rishonim. And accept the second shot, namely, that she said lo hirgashti, and yet we upgrade that to a suffix tuma d'oraisa. To be continued in Mirtz Hashem next week. Now, I just want to take a little count here, because it's getting close to Pesach. We meet on Mondays and Wednesdays. So I know that somebody told me he might have a problem on Wednesday. I wasn't sure about Monday.
You said you can't make sense.
Oh, I have a problem on Monday. Okay. So what about Wednesday?
I can't make sense.
All right. So this is going to be a sad kind of bittersweet ending, because we're really in the thick of a sugya here. So what I'm going to ask you to do is every day until the next shiur, which is about 3 weeks from now, I don't know how long, 2 weeks from now, you have to review this shiur that we had today, so that I can start after that with this shiur. Because if I got to start from scratch again, we'll be here on this on the introduction to this sugya, we'll be for another month. Okay then? So I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a chag kosher v'sameach. Everybody should be well, and I hope you enjoyed the shiurim. If you enjoyed the shiurim 10% of what I enjoyed, that's good, because I'm very much enjoying the shiur, and it's very difficult. It's not easy, but we're trying.
Continue this after the Yom Tov.
If it's okay with you, I'd like to continue until I feel secure that at least I know something about Hilchos Nida. You know what I'm saying? That might take another few months. You know. El will start something new, so you can begin to, you know, think if you're with me in El, what you'd like to learn, and I'll think, try to figure out what the Kol's learning. It's a big balagan here because different people in the Kol want to learn different things in El, and it's not clear. And if you have something that you want to learn, try to be mashpia on the Kol that they should want to learn what you want, and then we'll learn what they'll learn.
Very nice.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thanks for your very laudatory introduction there. I'm not, you know, if my father was there, he would. I know exactly what he would have said. He would have said, Rabbi Sachtus, you want me to lie down for this? Like it was a hesped, you know.